As much as some readers have plenty of time at home to check out new titles, this is a weird year for book releases. I actually saw a press release the other day from a bookstore entitled All the Book Tours That Didn't Happen in April 2020. Even so, the new titles are coming out. Stateside book critic Kelly Forden has this review of a new one from Michigan author Gail Griffin.
In this communal season of heartache, perhaps a book called Grief's Country does not sound immediately appealing. But this stunning essay collection by former Kalamazoo professor Gail Griffin is one of those rare books that reminds one that while we all might tell each other stories in order to survive, only a select few manage to do it well. This collection of 10 essays and 4 magnificent poems considers the various aspects of traumatic grief, memory, and survival. Within this book, Griffin chronicles her long-term love affair with a man she refers to only as Bob. She and Bob spent much of their 18-year relationship working at different universities, able to come together only for holidays and sabbaticals. Then, on New Year's Eve 2008, after Bob retired, they finally decided to tie the knot. 4 months later, Bob drowned in the Manistee River, outside their cabin on Fife Lake in Kalkaska County, 20 feet outside their cabin door. Bob, who had experienced a couple of unsettling fainting spells, had gone outside to remove the bird feeder. He'd devised an elaborate pulley and rope so that he could take it down from the trees each evening to stave off the raccoons. On May 8th, he set off to perform the task as usual, and Gail never saw him again. When she went outside to check on him, all she found was a lone slipper on the grass and one at the bottom of the embankment. His body was found down the river an hour and a half later. Griffin has said she considers these essays as mapping sectors of what Mark Doty refers to as grief's country. She quotes Doty, "There are times I feel I'm translating in my head from one language to another. I've become a citizen of grief's country, and now I don't easily speak the old tongue I used to know so well." When Griffin embarks on an ill-fated trip to Jamaica to escape her first holiday alone, she writes, "I pass my 10 days in Jamaica doing exactly what I did all summer at home, reading, staring out at the world, and drinking." It doesn't take long for her to realize that she has, quote, veered from escapism to agoraphobia, centripetal to centrifugal energy in a very short space. But they amount to the same thing, running from danger versus cowering from it. "Grief is a beast. I must ride where it takes me," she decides. From a writer's perspective, these essays are technically virtuosic. Some are traditional, others mosaic, some lyrical, some analytical. While writing the book, Griffin has noted that she had to learn how to deal with her powerful emotions, and sometimes that involved looking at them head on, and sometimes coming at it slant, as Emily Dickinson would say. As Griffin wrestled with memory, resisted sentimentality, and faced the traumatic memories of her loss head on, she also managed to create a work of art. The book, which took 8 years to write, was never meant to be a book, she's told interviewers, and perhaps that's why she was able to produce such a variegated analysis of the experience. The essays in Grief's Country are stitched together seamlessly with an intimacy and lack of hokey self-help gobbledygook that honors rather than tamps down the necessary practice of grief. She has said that while she was writing, she was attempting to make something shapely out of a complete mess. And in this reader's opinion, she has succeeded.
Kelly Forden, reviewing the new collection of essays, Grief Country, by writer Gail Griffin.